early days, the Native Americans and the immigrants took what they needed from what was right around them. This may be the original definition of the creative economy. But most people don't live that way anymore. This week, we're visiting with Dave Rosso from Callaway, a trapper, a ricer, and, well, I'll let Dave tell the story.
We grew up trapping weasels when we were old enough to go to school. We walked to a country school the first 2 years, and there was no GoTrans Road till in the early 50s. All there was a trail through. There was no road. School bus never come any time that I went to school, and school bus never come.
Dave's parents came from Finland, and his wife, Dolores, who stays nearby during the interview, is a White Earth tribal member.
I am Finnish. My mother was from northern Finland, from Lapland. Oh. Her parents and my father was from, his parents were from southern Finland.
There were 9 in my family.
And right here, born right here in White Earth?
All born in the Indian hospital in White Earth.
So didn't stray too far from home.
So we got together and raised our tribe of Findians.
Dave and Dolores raised their little tribe of Findians by trapping, hunting, farming, ricing, timbering, running a sawmill, and whatever else was needed.
So we owned quite a bit of woodland, and actually I bought it over the years because you could, I logged. I've still got my sawmill for many years. I could buy the land cheaper than the stumpage. Yeah, no, we've got a good farm for, a lot of woods and a lot of wetlands. We got about 200 acres of water on it, and just about every bit of it, or 3/4 of it, I've made.
I first heard about Dave through his daughter, who told me that he used to trap leeches. Naturally, I had to hear that story. Turns out, leeches saved his farm.
I think in the early 80s, I trapped leeches. In the 80s, interest went up to 18% at the bank, and we were close to losing our farm. And then, Lars had relatives in White Earth that were trapping leeches, and we talked to them, and they were making $100 a day, maybe more. And I tried it, and I couldn't get none. I tried it for several years.
The first time he caught some, Dave brought home 2 5-gallon buckets full of bloodsuckers, which are not leeches. But he figured it out.
I didn't know any better, yeah. And the next spring I found them, and every time we sold some leeches, Dolores took the money to the bank and paid our note down and our farm payment, and in a matter of a few years we were caught up, but it was 20-hour days.
You're listening to The Call of the Wild. This week I'm talking to David Rosso and his wife Dolores from Callaway. Trappers, farmers, all-round Northwoods people. Over many years, Dave bought acreage and slowly dammed up small streams and created wetlands for his trap lines. Beaver, otter, wolf, and deer hides were a big part of their economy.
Yes, it's very good trapping, but now furs have went down to next to nothing in price. Furs aren't worth anything. They went, the last couple of years, they've dropped to from an $8 rat to a $1 rat, mush rat, and from a $100 otter to a $10, $15 otter. So it doesn't, so there's not much in it now.
As most hunters and trappers know, the animal populations across the North Woods are closely monitored with seasons set according to the numbers. The wolf, especially, has gone back and forth from being a pest to being one of our endangered species.
Yeah, but they eat when you realize it's, well, I don't know how many deer a wolf eats a year, but the known kills were over 20 per wolf, and then he had probable kills of another half a dozen, and then some that he, where they had cleaned up animals, but he had only done it during the snow months.
Dave thinks the true danger to the wolf is that when the population gets too big and they keep moving west, they mix it up with the coyote.
Actually, years back, that's when I was trapping, getting bounty. on that one farm, and I caught quite a few of them big coyotes. And I sold them to a fur buyer up at east of one, north of 113. And the next fall, he told me, he said, you know, all them big coyotes that you sold me, he said, my buyer threw them all in with the Canadian wolves.
Really?
So they were all more
wolf than coyote.
More wolf. And that's what will happen if they keep protecting the wolf, and the wolf keeps working this way, they're going to keep continue to cross, and they won't have no pure timber. And maybe in 100 years or maybe less, they won't have a pure timber at all.
Dave and Dolores show me a pile of pelts and hides that they've gathered. Although the prices have dropped, they use them to make pipe bags, drums, hats, and other items. They also sell them to other crafters. During my fur tour, Dolores brings out a pair of well-worn sticks, her ricing sticks, also called knockers. Wild rice has been a big part of their economy and a part of Dolores' white earth tradition.
My pride and joy is...
Them are the sticks Dolores used all the time we were racing. Feel them, see how they wore down? The knots didn't wear like the... See? They actually got to where we had to quit using them because they ripped the rice because of the knots were sticking up. You want smooth sticks.
See the fingerprints?
Sometimes the wetlands were not so wet, so Dave devised a contraption for gathering rice on dry land. It's kind of a boat that he attaches around his waist. The boat extends out like half a canoe. I didn't believe it until I saw it.
Yeah, where there's no water. Oh, yeah, I guess Margaret mentioned that to you. Yeah, I and my nephew actually, the two of us actually made each of us a little like a canoe that we carried right in front of us. Shaped like a canoe, only it only goes out about 5 feet. And I just walk along and pick into it. I couldn't walk like I did back years back because it was kind of boggy, but I picked rice with it.
Leeches, rice, timber, timber wolves, venison, all a part of the creative economy of the North Woods. With The Call of the Wild, I'm Milt Lee.